And that's enough because we don't want to get copyrighted.
You know what? This actually is inspired by our guest today because we sang karaoke to our heart's delight last weekend.
We
welcome to Respectfully Podcast. I'm Andrea Hallin.
I'm Lindsay Cassidy. And joining us today, the wonderful, the hilarious Tracy McClendon, everybody.
Oh, my God. Second Tracy of
second
the
Tracy.
Pod.
Two Tracys.
Wow, and I'm the second one? Okay.
Sorry.
Well, we were supposed to have you on earlier, but I had to cancel it. I don't remember why.
<That's fair>.
All Tracys are equal here. We view all Tracys under the eyes of God.
At least all the ones we know.
Yeah. I do want to ask what the hell that song was.
It was Grooves in the Heart by D-Light.
Oh, okay.
Grooves
in the Heart. I thought you said highway.
That was better.
I was
the
like,
second,
yeah,
thank
that
you.
Second time was better.
Should we pop it in? Put it in the beginning?
I think it was so good, we might get copyrighted.
Right.
No, the first one was good.
I
for
need
no
to stop
copyright.
Doing it because it's so good that they might think we use the actual
stop
song.
Stop falsely pumping me up.
Why?
In
that's
front
my
of
job.
Everybody.
That's my whole job.
True. Fair enough. Well, welcome to the program, Tracy. We're fucking excited. You're equal to other Tracy, but you got fucking lobster sunglasses on, so you're really bringing it.
Yeah, you're the first guest to bring their own eyewear.
I did bring these from home. These
can you,
cool,
can you to
they?
Camera do the trick?
Just
there it is. There it is.
There it is.
Come on.
Folks.
Come
subscribe
on.
To the YouTube.
Get a little too much sun in your eyes. Put those claws down.
Subscribe to the YouTube
really hard
so you can see these
the claws
fucking
down.
Things.
Yeah, I bet.
It's not.
Imagine.
It's not.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, you have to subscribe to our YouTube to get the full experience because I look fucking nuts.
Yeah, you do look fucking nuts and I love it.
Ronnie, if you don't put those glasses back on.
Ronnie, don't.
You either are one of us or you're not.
You can't have me sing Grooves in
not,
the Heart wearing
no,
a fucking bucket
you think
hat
I'm not
like
watching
an
you in the monitor, Ronnie? I see you.
God damn it.
Well, speaking of embarrassment, let's talk about the fucking
national embarrassment.
Matt Rife. Credit that, to Adam Gilbert.
Comedian Adam Gilbert who only says Matt Rife in the Borat My Wife voice. Matt Rife.
This Matt Rife came out with a Netflix special within the last few weeks.
If you don't know who Matt Rife is,
which
good,
I don't.
First
yeah,
of all,
incredible.
You're cool. That
yeah,
rips. Matt Rife is a white male stand-up crowd work comedian who...
I thought his name was Steve Hofstetter.
No, that's a different guy.
Well, it's like baseball right there.
That's the heckler guy.
Yeah.
Matt Rife is... He's gotten a lot of plastic surgery.
Yeah.
He does a lot of bad crowd work. And I'm going to tell you, this is what he looks like. Have you seen the movie Shark Tale?
No.
Yes. He looks like Will Smith's character in the movie.
Oh,
tell
no.
Tell me this isn't Matt Rife.
Okay. Wow. You.
Yeah, it
this is.
This is
what Matt Rife showed his plastic surgeon.
That's crazy because that's a blackfish.
I know.
Yeah.
He literally
that's my point.
Was like, I'm going to blackfish.
I know.
Yeah.
He literally is like lip injections, fake tan, black scent.
Matt Rife is a white black person. He's trying to be
a black person.
He's actually trying to become a Puerto Rican.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
But I don't think even he knows that.
No, he doesn't. But like once you go too far, like Puerto Rican's about where you want to stop.
Honestly.
Good to
know.
Let me write that down.
I say that as a black person and a Puerto Rican. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, noted for the future. No more box braids for me. It's humiliating.
Today's the day you stop doing the box braids.
Fuck.
Fine. I'll stop wearing an afro wig to places. Well, I couldn't even think of one because it's so corny when people do it. But this is the thing. This is why Matt Rife is in the news. I don't know.
He is
the zeitgeist.
News. Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, I hope that the news isn't reporting on this. There's
they
so much
are.
Going
they
on
are.
In the world.
They are.
Okay, so Matt Rife basically built his career by talking to women in the audience and hitting on them.
Yeah.
And women found him attractive, so he became famous. And they bought tickets to his show. And he had, like, something like a $22 million deal with Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
All because of these women. And then he put out a Netflix special where he was obviously trying to pander to like cool male comedians who like, you can't say anything anymore, those guys.
Yeah.
And he completely turned his back on women and made fun of them for an hour, including he has a bad domestic violence
joke
in there.
The opener is the bad domestic violence joke.
And the thing that bothers me so much is, like, honestly, if you're going to be one of these, like, shock jock comedians that makes fun of women, that's fine. I don't have to watch what you do. I don't care. But if women fucking lined your pockets with money and are the reason that you were offered a Netflix special and then you go and fucking do this, fuck you forever. That sucks. You hate women and I fucking hate you.
Well, he also, like, doesn't want to admit to himself that he is like a male stripper comedian.
Yeah.
Like he is the guy at Bananas wearing the thong, fucking, you know, fake
he's
flirting.
He's like Chippendale.
Yeah, fake flirting with women.
I mean, he sounds like Megan Fox, and Megan Fox's career kind of took a steep downturn after Jennifer's Body because they're like, do you want to kill us?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
but
maybe.
That was cool.
No, that was cool. but also, she didn't write it. So, it's not that cool.
Yeah. There's this thing that comedians, so there are comedians who become very famous by taking what I would say, like, a cheat code or the easy route, where they either do something like stupid and pandery, or they do something like, you know, they're hot and they use people's sexual desire for them to fucking leverage, which is all fine and good.
Yeah, I don't care.
You're not gonna be the guy. You're not gonna be the guy that all the dudes respect. You're like a pick me for men and you use women wanting to fuck you as a way to get things.
Also, the thing that this guy doesn't realize is like, you made enough money and sold enough tickets that these guys will pretend to respect you.
Yes.
You don't have to turn your back on women. Yeah. But I also mean, like, the guys he wants respect from are, like, the Joe Rogans, the, like, Andrew Schultz, like, the people who are, like, in this sphere of comedian who can sell out an arena who are doing, like, boy comedy. Well, they're doing comedy for boys.
But also, like, what is even the value of their respect?
That's what I'm saying.
Like what are they going to
do? Why do you need that so badly?
They're not, like, super supportive of each other.
And, like, you're a millionaire.
Yeah.
You don't need...
Yeah.
What are you doing?
But that's what misogyny and male...
Exactly.
That's how strong male pick-me energy is.
Yeah.
Is like, please, daddy, I'll destroy my career from a nod from you on, like, street joke level stuff. Also, like, whatever. Like you said, misogyny, who cares? We see it all the time. Like, it doesn't even move the needle. The jokes are so bad.
They're so bad.
Crazy.
It's like... And then at the end, he drops the mic. He goes, and y'all thought I was just a crowd work comedian, and drops the mic, and it's like... And you just prove that you are.
Yeah.
Because you can't write a joke to save your fucking life.
Yeah, it's kind of like, we talked about Chappelle a little bit in one of the earlier shows, and someone made the comparison of like, don't be out there doing Cat Williams shit
if you're not Cat Williams. Yeah.
And it's like, if you're a white guy with a plastic jawline, the audacity to think you can drop the mic is... I get self-conscious when I'm leaning too much on a stool. And I'm wearing a pink plastic coat. Like, I'm nuts out there.
I know. I'll say, like, thank you so much, get home safe. And I'm like, get home safe?
What am I, your parent?
Who do I think I fucking am? Like, you guys came here to see me.
Thank you for paying for a babysitter. I really appreciate that tonight.
Yeah, fuck me. Like, shut up.
Well,
yeah.
And then I would never drop a mic because I'm always like, I have more to say. Can I have another
hour and a half?
What you guys are even saying about this guy, like, everything that you've said about how he came up and then, like, what he did sounds like the difference between a first date and a second date.
Yeah, totally.
Like, love bombed a bunch of girls with, like, fake bullshit. Like, oh, my God, I would love to take you home, girl, or whatever he's doing.
You're a mother, but you're still hot.
But then his special is like, and now that you're here, fuck you,
Well, also, when you watch it, you're like, oh, this guy thinks women are fucking stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he thinks women are going to be like, whatever, he's dreamy, so I don't care that he made those jokes. And it's like, they're all over TikTok caring.
Oh.
They're all over TikTok being like, I liked you, and now I fucking don't.
Also, when guys...
And I think these guys think that women don't understand comedy, and there's women who have no relationship to comedy on TikTok being like, there's no punchlines in this comedy special.
Yeah, jumping around is not a punchline.
Yeah.
Physically hopping is crazy to think that's
a street joke about a woman with a black eye isn't funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely nuts.
Ugh. And you're doing a black set.
Yeah.
Oh, he does a black scent?
I just don't understand this, like, wave of black scent comedy.
Yeah.
Knock it. Nothing has ever been more embarrassing to me that when I bring, like, I've brought a white person to a party that happens to be mostly black people and watch them start doing it. And the way that I'm like, no.
Yeah.
It's the cringiest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
I love when somebody starts doing a black scent to me and then halfway through the conversation, they hear how I'm speaking and then they don't know, like, should I switch back?
Should I co-switch back or am I staying in the black scent?
Like, and then they're just like in this fucking death spiral where they're like, yeah, so, you know, black out. And I'm like, yes, as you were saying. And they're like, I don't. And it's the funniest thing.
Dude, one of the best ones. I just like thought of this. There's an episode of Punked with Justin Timberlake. Mm-hmm. And when they show up, he's like, yeah, man, whatever. Fucking, I can't even do it. I hate doing it.
Michelle Williams.
So Justin Timberlake is doing black scent and then they like keep fucking with him. I think they do something to his car or something and he starts crying and the black scent goes away completely. And he's like, I just really don't know what to do. And it's like, yeah, because that was fake. Yeah. That was all fake.
There are especially white guy comedians who are like dorky guys who transition into black scent guy. Yeah. I'm like, where is this hoodie and these rings coming from?
Yeah.
You were wearing fucking button downs 2 weeks ago. Don't you think people see you?
Yeah, I know.
Well,
yeah.
It's really funny to me because it's like, it's very connected to like believing that blackness is coolness.
Sure.
Yeah.
So when you call them out for it, they're like, no, this is like, I'm just talking. Like, this is how people talk. And I'm like,
and they try to turn it on you. They're like, you think only black people talk this way? And it's like, yeah.
It's like,
yeah, I do.
Mostly yes. is like, where you're getting it from.
Like, I know that that's what you're doing.
I'm also like, name the three white people that you're emulating right now.
I know.
Right.
Because they're also doing a black thing.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like, there's not like a white person who's walking into a room and is like, this is exactly how I talk.
Right.
And that's the person that you're trying to sound like.
Yeah.
You never want to sound like that guy. You want to sound like Ludacris, specifically.
I know white people who grew up in predominantly black neighborhoods who don't talk like that. You know what I mean?
I am a black woman who grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood who doesn't talk. Like, it's literally, like...
Could I interrupt you and make a point in a black scent now? I'm just kidding. Sorry, you're a black woman, but...
I really like.
What does the black life be like?
I try to make fun of these people and I can't do it because I'll be honest, like when I was a teenager, I started having like groups of friends who were black when I was a teenager. I grew up around all white people. And then when I was a teenager, I started having friends who weren't white. And I spent so much of my life being like, don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Don't be the guy who changes the way you talk when you're around anybody, like no matter who they are. And now I can't do it when I'm trying to make fun of people who do it because I don't know how.
Well, it's funny to me. I like people are always like, oh, do you speak white because of, and I'm like, it's very difficult for me.
Speak white is crazy.
Yeah, like people are like, you talk so, like, you don't talk like that. Like, and I'm like, this is so wild because everyone in my family speaks differently from each other in like whatever ways. But I don't, and then when I'm around other black people, I don't speak differently, but they're like, oh, you sound different. I'm like, maybe I'm just more comfortable. It's very weird.
When I hang out with my family, I come back sounding like I grew up on Long Island.
Yeah. Cause
they did.
My Canadian.
You know what I mean? Things like that that are real. And so like, I'm sure if you hang out with certain groups of people, you talk a little bit differently because we all
but
do.
But it's not like
a fake affectation that you're putting on, you know?
Also,
like, I'm not doing that when I'm around my family so that they think I'm cool.
It's also so funny because, like, the difference between a black scent and, like, a hip-hop white boy is so stark because a hip-hop white boy will just say, that's dope. That's so dope.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he uses that word. He's not pretending to use that word, but he's not like, ee, me. Like, I'm like, what is this
high-pitched?
Yeah.
Where are you coming from tonally? Like, you can use the words if you're like, I'm really invested in that community and like that culture, but like, it's so weird.
Yeah, you're allowed to know a lot about hip-hop without doing a voice.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I have a question for you. Like, as someone who's lived in New York for, like, I moved here when I was 18. I've lived in New York for 17 years. I do think, like, for me to not be influenced or notice black culture because black people generate so much culture, I think there's a difference being, like, I like the way these people dress. I like fucking music. I appreciate it. My friends, I have a friend group that isn't all white people.
Right.
I think there's, like, I feel as if there's a difference between being, like, oh, I'm kind of like assimilating and there's things I like and there's, I also have my own individuality all the time versus just being like, people think this is cool. So I'm going to do an entire costume change one day, you know?
I feel like I can always tell the difference because like, it's always interesting because it'll be somebody from California. Who's like, yo, that's hella dope or whatever. And I'm like, okay, they're like mixing and matching, or somebody from Boston is like, that's wicked dope or whatever. Like, it's literally just creating the pieces of who you are.
I love the different regional dopeness. We got wicked dope.
Dope.
If it's New York, that's mad dope. Like, you know, like there's,
I was going to say dope as hell.
It's like dope AF. Like, all this stuff. But then, I'm like, whenever it's this TikTok speech, like when it's like this like chain of just buzzwords of like,
for real.
Of like, hey girl, yeet.
And now you have white people learning their black scent from other white people doing a black scent. It's not even coming from black people.
That's what I'm saying.
So there's this like generation of like, the place that I see it is white dudes at open mics that think they're funnier if they're using a black scent.
Yeah.
And then like, I'm like, I see you leave here and all your friends are white.
Yo, on God, that's a great point. I can't, like my friend Napoleon Emile was trying to teach me how to like contextually use on God. I'm like,
look at me.
You're trying to embarrass me. You're trying to embarrass me.
I mean,
trying to get on God in there.
On God, you're trying to embarrass me.
No, I love teaching people, the wildest, like, new thing to say.
Riz?
That's
TikTok.
That's actually white people.
Oh, white.
Which is why it's whack.
Yeah.
But like, if it sounds like a black woman said it, that's real slang.
Right. Yeah,
if it does, like, can you imagine a black woman going, that's the Riz?
No.
Where? When would that happen?
Putting on the Riz. Like, very, like, theater kid.
Yeah.
And then I had a white guy explain to me, and he's like, oh, you know, Riz for charisma. I'm like, that's not even where we would shorten it. Like, I can do the etymology of slang.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
But like, I love to teach people, like, the weirder ones, and they're like, is that real? And I'm like, yeah. And then they find out that it's real, so then they believe me for everything. Like,
oh, you're sending us out there.
Yeah, like one of my favorites to teach people is and that's on Mary Had a Little Lamb, and they're like, that's not real.
Is that real?
It's real.
Wow.
Look at
explain it to me.
You just say, you say a story or you make a point, and you go, and that's on Mary Had a Little Lamb, and people are, and like, that's how you're like, that's true.
Like, I would bet my life on that type thing.
No, that's, it's like, it's equivalent to on God, basically.
Gotcha.
It's like very, that's the truth.
I just pull out a notebook. I'm like, Mary had, don't do the song because it's not a fucking,
you don't sing it.
But then I like to sneak in ones that I made up myself where I'm like, we're not doing it. It's giving anymore. We go, I took it, and people are like
that's really good.
Yeah, I would totally believe that.
It sounds real. And then I'm like, what if I like accidentally make something up, and it would count because I'm a black woman, and
it would be real. I guess it is real.
It is real.
Yeah
it's so real. Palestine. Hey,
all right.
Whoa.
Okay.
I'm problematic drops guy on this episode.
Yeah, you are. I just cut together a clip of you doing black sense saying Israel Palestine. And then I'm like, I like said it to you, and I'm like, if you ever betray me,
I have the tape.
I'll post this without context.
What do you think about, so I've seen, this is like older white guy comedy, talking about how like powerful it is to say the N-word. There's a lot of this, when we started, there was a lot of this, and I see it less often, about like the salaciousness of the N-word. And I remember a guy was talking about saying the N-word like you're holding a bomb, and like how you could just release it and ruin your whole life, and like, that's so powerful.
I literally am like, white people will do anything to get the N-word back.
It's always making,
they're like, well, what if we found out that the cure for cancer was me saying the N-word?
and it's like,
and then I'm like, it's not.
It's not. And if it was, okay, then it's a different thing.
But I'm like, we put you
in a vault and we let you say it alone.
I'm like, it's not, and you know it's not. I'm like, why? Like, I'm like, just say it, bro. This is not me saying say the N-word. Like, the girl on the podcast. No, yeah. I'm like, say it and ruin your life then. No, I don't care.
Like,
get away from me.
There's like a clip of, I wish I could remember who it is. Oh, it's Samuel L. Jackson. He's on some news show, and the conservative news correspondent
like,
talking
that
to is like,
word. You say that like, word all the time.
He's like, well, if we all have free speech, why can't I say the N-word? And Samuel L. Jackson is like, say it.
Let's say it together.
Say
three,
it.
Two, one.
Say it.
Say it.
Say it.
Oh,
because that's
love
the thing.
It.
If you want to say it so fucking bad, say it.
They
suffer
want
the consequences.
They want
get hit in the mouth.
They want permission, but they also don't really want permission.
Yeah,
they just want to. They want it to mean what it means and to feel how it feels for the people that it feels for, and they don't want any consequences. And
but
I'm like, all
thing,
that's
like,
over with, baby. That was
but the
1860.
The thing they don't realize is, like, the white people who are trying to say it in the way that's, like, cool, it's like, it'll never feel how it feels to you because it's not about you. It doesn't apply to you. Like, if you're a person addressing another member of your community with a word that only you use, you're not going to get that feeling from saying it. You're just going to feel like you're getting away with a crime.
Yeah, I'm like,
which is how I know you know it's wrong.
No, I'm like, I wish that white men would just try to reclaim, like, small dick, you know, like when that makes you feel
that's
bad,
our message here.
Like, hey, small dick,
what's
up, small dick, and then we can't say it anymore, and then you know,
that can be your thing.
You got that Irish dick,
pencil dick,
you got that tiny little pinky,
needle dick,
needle dick is good. What up, needle dick? They hug.
That's not your word.
They go, what's up, needle dick, and then they fully white guy high five. There's no,
that's the
that's
real
not a cool
N-word that white men can
needle
say,
dick.
Needle dick.
Guys, you have that now. We're giving that to you. That's your oppression. I mean, it's the same as when people want to say bitch, when men say bitch and you know they mean it the mean way. It's like, I can call my female friends bitch and cunt all day long because we both understand what we're talking about there. We're reclaiming, but you
but
don't
then
get
when
that.
When a guy is just throwing it around loosey-goosey, I'm like, mm-mm, I don't like that at all.
There's a hard B in that.
I feel like it's a hard T. Does that make sense?
Fucking bitch.
Yeah.
This fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Or even when they're trying to be cool about it, they're like, you bitch. And I'm like, oh, you've said that with hate in your heart.
It rolls off the tongue too naturally. Like that, every time a white person gets caught saying the N-word and they're like, this was just one moment in my life.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way you didn't practice that in the mirror.
Yeah, you seemed real comfy.
I'm like, you did not trip over one syllable. You were like, the N rolled somehow. How did you do that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, this also brings us to another gripe we have with white people talking to black people, which a thing I see a lot is like when a white woman starts dating a black man and makes it her whole fucking identity.
She's in a dashiki.
I mean, it's
she's
crazy.
A black
she has
square.
Box braids.
Yeah.
She's twerking. Why are you twerking all of a sudden?
It's always like, And I don't want to hear anything from girls like you about me and my love. And I'm like, I don't care.
I don't
in any way.
No one's looking at you.
Nobody cares.
No
it's 2023
cares.
And we live in New York City. We've seen an interracial couple before.
I have a black boyfriend, as you guys both know. You know me
big
and my
fan.
And my black boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I'm sounding like a white woman.
I know.
Right now.
I know.
Guys, just to be clear, I am black if you're only listening to
if you
podcast.
Were if you weren't black, this
you
would be
imagine
the craziest
if you weren't
podcast.
Black.
You did say you were Puerto Rican, so if we're like, okay, we can't get a black person in here, but let's get a Puerto
so
Rican.
Close.
I am visibly black. It's not a question when I'm, okay, anyway. Yeah.
You just take off a mask you've been wearing your whole life.
Whoa, black Tracy's white.
Tracy Rachel Dolezal does.
No, but like, so I have a black boyfriend and, sometimes I get looks from white women walking down the street where I feel like they're like, she's stealing all our men. Like, it's crazy.
Which is what white women who date black men think black women are thinking about them. And it's like, they're not. Nobody cares about you.
No one's thinking about you.
Like, there are white women who are just like, my hair is real. And I'm like, I don't care.
Know for a fact that there are white women who think that they can date hotter black men than they can white men.
Yes.
Because they think that, like, black men, like, love
can't resist
white women, you know?
Here's,
and it's like, that guy is so fucking out of your league. It's embarrassing.
I'm humiliated
that you think
to watch
that he would
you
ever
do
fuck
this.
You.
Yeah.
Here's where our paths diverge. You guys keep holding white women accountable. I'm gonna hold black men accountable.
Well, we can't.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah, no.
sorry, you were saying on my behalf?
There's a term that I use called a milk master, and there's a lot of.
Oh my god!
Yeah, we've got another slang.
You always have the best little term.
These fucking guys. Some black guys are just like. Is a white woman looking at me? I'm hard. And right. I'm like, that is pond scum. They are like.
But there are also white women who are like, is a black man looking at me? I'm cool and valid.
Yes. Yeah. But I wish that we could just scrape all of the scum from these two and then like stick them together.
Put them in a spaceship.
With the guy who wants to say the N-word, they can all just be in the basement together.
They can all just hang out and have a good
being
time.
A nightmare.
But the white women are definitely an issue, but the black men, like, there's a comedian that you guys both know who, did a whole set about how he doesn't fuck black women. And I
know who this is.
Do not care because he couldn't, if I could save the world, it would be like, well, the world has to end sometime. Like, I would never. And then I rolled my eyes like halfway through a set because it was bad.
Oh, he was saying if I could save the world by fucking a black woman, I still wouldn't. Okay.
Yeah. I'm rolling.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. If I had to fuck Hitler to save the world, I'd be like, this sucks. Somebody has to save the world. Yeah.
But like, I'm rolling my eyes because like the set is also bad. Like, I don't care.
Oh, the set is
like,
never good when this kind of stuff happens.
So
yeah.
I walk out and I'm like at the bar and then he comes out to the bar.
Wait, this is the black guy, right?
This is the black guy.
I know who this is.
And he comes up to me and he's like, you hated that, huh? Sorry, white women are more attractive. And Jesus I Christ. Walk to the next room. He follows me into the next room and he's like, sorry, white
was
women
there
are
when
more
this
attractive.
Happened.
Yeah, there were like people who were like, bro, I wasn't even respond. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And he followed me from room to room, like, sorry, black women aren't as attractive as white women. And I was like, did your mom hit you?
Yeah.
Cause like,
yeah,
I
like,
hope
whatever
it was really hard.
Whatever
like,
you're dealing with has nothing to fucking do with you. You know what I mean?
I was like, I don't know what female relative got into your fucking room
psyche.
When you were five and like whipped the shit out of you, but it wasn't me.
Or if you
and
just
I
grew up
care.
In a society that perpetuates misogyny and racism against black women specifically.
Yeah.
And like, you live in that world, so you've decided that you can talk to them however the fuck you want.
But yeah, but like the same social cachet that white women are like looking for. Like, I can't be racist because I fuck black guys and I had a black son. And so like, even though I'm definitely racist and fetishizing black bodies, I'm not racist. The same, that's the other turn where it's like a black man is like, I have value because white women will fuck
me. Yeah.
And I would never fuck a black woman because I'd lose my value because I'm not a, like, it's
like an intersectionality nightmare where it's all weird in different ways.
It's a weird little snake pit of just like, I hope the sex is bad. I hope nobody comes.
Well, they definitely don't because they don't like each other for the right reasons.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you can tell like when you meet an interracial couple and you're like, man, you guys are just fucking in love. That rips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can tell when you meet people and you're like, oh no.
Be like, imagine if a therapist came into this. You guys could not keep together. It would evaporate.
Do you notice when white people are like auditioning to be black in front of you? Is that something that you see?
Because they always get really upset when I'm like, well, my favorite genre of music is alternative, and they're like, but I know
so much about hip hop.
But I'm naming Nas, Illmatic, like I'm naming every single song, and I'm like, that's really
cool. I don't
cool
sleep
because
sleep is the cousin of death. What are you not getting about this?
Life is
I
a
did my homework.
Die. What are you doing?
Okay, I did sing Ludacris at one of your recent holiday parties, and you guys seemed to have a really good time. And
no, that felt really good for you.
Oh, stay the fuck up.
I'm gonna say something. I'm gonna say something that sucks right now. It does feel good when you are a white person invited to a party that's all black people. It does feel good.
It feels
like, oh, I'm glad that I grew up in a racist society and it didn't fucking get me.
Yeah,
you know?
I have one other reason, and it's because black people are just like objectively better.
And fun.
And more fun.
Funny and fun and cool to hang out with. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh, they generate all of culture and music and art. Yes, I would like to hang out
with
that.
Also, food
group.
Is better.
Yeah, I know. I had to miss a holiday party you had recently, and literally the whole time I was like, the food is going to be so
good,
and I don't get to go.
Slapping. I'm going
to
be honest.
I had to have regular white people Thanksgiving, and then I missed Black Thanksgiving, and I'm so fucking mad.
I'm so sorry, my friend.
I'm going to throw another one, you guys.
I know. I'll be there. One of the most validating moments of my life is you invited me to a party where I think I was the only white person there, and that wasn't alone it, but then people started talking about if a race war happened, and Tracy just turned to me and was like, I'd save you. And I was like, oh, my God. That makes me feel so good.
You're a white pick me, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But every white person is.
Yeah, sure. Well, especially in New York, where again.
Also, I don't think you're a white pick me. And I know you're joking. I'm not like mad, but like, I also don't think you're a white pick me if you're just like being genuine. I think you're a white pick me if you're going up to black people and being like, man, it must be really hard to interact with the police or like whatever they do, you know?
Well, that's the thing again, to circle back to white women who fetishize black men like sexually too. There's this weird thing where they get back at white men who they have slighted them, they perceive,
yeah. Yeah.
By fucking black men.
And by slighted them, they just mean broke up with them.
Broke up with them because they were insane. Where it's like they sexualize black men and are like, these men are cool and hot and I'm attracted to them. But also I feel like they're bad and scary to white men. Yeah. So it's like, I'm throwing that in their face.
I mean, they literally say they'll like break up, a white guy will break up with them and then they'll fuck a black guy and they'll say to like other white women, especially, they'll be like, he's gonna hate this. And it's like, ew, dude.
I mean, yeah. Also, like, I've heard people,
just fuck one of his friends like everybody else.
God.
I've heard people make plans like, I'm gonna go fuck a black guy. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know? With his consent, I hope.
Like, I hope.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, like, the weird plotting. And also, like, the entitlement of, like, well, obviously,
a black guy is gonna
be so grateful for my right. white pussy
yeah.
that I'm just gonna gift to him.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot. It's very,
it's disgusting.
It's
yeah.
very gross.
Or, like, whenever there's something going on in the media about, like, the way black people are treated in this country, and, like, you, and white women who date black men are like, I get it. It's like, shut yeah. the fuck up. No, you don't.
I'm doing my part.
Or like, just being like, you guys don't understand it the way I understand it.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you also don't.
During the
none of us do.
Yeah.
It's like
dating
a
black guy doesn't make you
what it's like to be a woman.
Yeah. Dating a black guy doesn't make you get treated badly by the cops.
Yeah.
Fucking chill out.
During the George Floyd protests, I had so many white women on my timeline who were posting yeah. nudes. Like, nude for George Floyd, and I was like, I swear to fucking God, if you don't,
that's racist.
If you don't shut the fuck up for yeah. like 10 days, I deleted so many people because I was just like, what do you think this is helping? And she's
yeah.
like, me get black dick, obviously, because like, I'm not racist, and then I'm totally hot and naked. Like, what the fuck?
It was funny. I can't remember who it was. It was maybe a comedian or a friend, but he was saying like, white women on Hinge right now are guilty.
Yeah,
and I am getting some fucking
I remember that
white
too.
Guilt pussy. Yeah, it was an interesting time. Everyone was popping off and making that narrative about themselves in all different sorts of
yeah,
ways.
Yeah, it's like, it's such a, like, it also just makes me sad because there's all these different nuances that are like, I've been in interracial relationships. I've mm-hmm. fucked my fair share more, maybe more than of white guys.
Thank you for your service.
And yeah. You're welcome. There's like all these weird nuances that all converge. Like white guys wouldn't approach me, because they were like, oh, well, you've been with like giant black cock, so you would never want to yeah. be with me. And that's them saying cock, not me. I don't say cock. That's
we've white. Talked about this.
Yeah.
Cocks. Black people say dick and white people say cock.
Yeah.
Cocks.
Which
no.
I didn't know. And you and other black people
yes.
told me. And I was like, damn, that is true and sucks. And I've thought about it since when I've like been fucking or dating a black guy and I've been like, do I start saying dick because he says dick? And
you
then should, I'm like, that's code switching. I'm saying cock.
No, you gotta.
I'm staying true to my culture and I'm saying
you
cock.
You guys should just switch to dick in general.
No.
Like, cock sounds like.
I refuse.
Gross. Cock is like what you're doing when it's in your mouth. Cock.
I know.
Cock.
I know, but I have to be who I have to be who I am. I can't change who I am so black people think I'm cool. That's what we're talking
all
about.
Right, yeah. Well, at least call it a wiener when he's black. That
fine,
way.
Fine, I'll call it a wiener. That way we're all upset.
Yeah. That way,
nice, weird across
way.
The board.
But yeah, it'll be stuff like you deal with this big black cock and I'm like, I'm with you.
Yeah,
and also, it'll be a guy with like a fucking giant white hog and I'm like, bro,
yeah,
you're
looking at your big old
you're
pink
skinny
dick.
White guy territory. You and I actually have a cross section of like, looks like kind of a beautiful girl and yeah. is very
when they have the ugh, when they yeah. have the slender hips, their dick Ooh. Is that it's also that wide.
Oh, we've
yeah
we've,
yeah the wingspan of their
like,
hips.
It's like
the amount
it's
of like
your wingspan is how tall you are. Yeah. It's like their pelvic bone is yeah. how long.
I'm like
their
I'm like
is.
All of that is dick.
We have covered so much like physics and ergonomics of how to guess dick size on this podcast. We could do like a fucking whole
we
essay
do a TED talk
about
with, like, protractors.
Bitches are just out here guessing angles and the way like, light bounces yeah. off of things.
I have, one of my tricks is how veiny the forearm
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah.
'Cause then I'm like, I like look at the thickness of the vein in the forearm and I'm like, that's the veins that are running through their whole body. That's yeah. the vein in their dick. Small dicks don't have thick veins.
Right. Yeah. Also, the classic, the tip of your pointer finger till the tip of
the
your
gun.
Thumb.
Yeah.
Thumb. Mm. That's how big your dick. You'd have a big dick.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
I would have a small medium.
I don't know. I count the nails.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. My dick has an acrylic nail.
This is actually a pretty big dick for my size.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
Pew.
You'd be one of those like little guys with a big dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you, when you notice a white person is trying to code switch in front of you, but you feel as if maybe it's like just well-meaning but embarrassing, do you like try to give it a pass or are you like, oh, look at you? Like what is your, cause you're talking about there's times where it's like malicious for sure or like
sure.
fetishizing.
Or
and, like,
a way to be cool and profit off of black culture without participating in it.
If I think that they're genuinely like, I think that this is how we can connect.
Right, yeah. right. That's what I'm saying in that instance.
I probably will never be close friends with them, so I'll just let them be stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Got
like,
it.
Like, if I ever got to a point where I was closer friends with a person who was that dumb, I'd be like, that's the dumbest thing that you do, and I need you to stop.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
But, like, for the most part, I'm like, hey, acquaintance who does the black voice every time you see me.
Right.
This is always going to be something I joke about behind your back.
Yeah,
you,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Like,
beep, boop, boop, boop. What's up, my dog?
Why are you? Yeah. You're doing like a black
what is
robot.
The beep, boop, beep, boop?
I don't know. I'm trying different shit out right now.
You think like black people are robots?
I'm really, well, I mean, they're a nerd. Like, so they're like a nerdy white person.
Okay.
I'm
oh,
doing
a
white sound.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh.
White sound into black sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I get
so
it.
You did a white scent into a black scent?
That's right.
That's,
yeah.
That's levels there.
That's yeah. big, yeah.
Take notes, Matt Rife, okay?
Yeah, you have to ease into the black scent. You can't just come out swinging.
Gotta start with a little bit of Office Space and then move yourself right into fucking LL Cool J or whatever bullshit he's doing. But I also think this is Matt Rife wants like comedy, so many of the great comedians are black men. That's
yeah.
just our history.
Yeah.
Comedy is very much a black male dominated art form for the most part, especially historically. Those dudes are never going to respect you when you're mic dropping.
Well,
yeah.
That's crazy.
It's so funny because from what you guys are saying about his departure in this, in mm-hmm. this special, he's definitely actively courting like black men at this point. And anybody who was a fan of his who thought he was never going to be sexist is crazy. Because
yeah, I know.
Anybody,
yeah, that is stupid.
Anybody who's courting black men, like the historically, there's not one famous black male comedian who doesn't have a women be shopping.
Yeah,
right.
Or, and like, yeah, they're benign to whatever, but like they're all part and parcel of this overarching thing of like the differences between women and men.
Yeah, I mean, Patrice O'Neill is one of the funniest, yeah. most successful comedians of all time. And the way he talked about women was awful.
He'd be like, they're dogs that I yeah. put in a cage. And I'd be like, you're a genius, but
wow, that hurts.
But so hilarious. Like,
but
I'm
so funny.
So well
yeah, so funny.
That, like, he does have women in the audience against their better
yeah.
like, judgment.
Yes.
But like, and then also,
and it's like, someone needs to sit Matt Rife down and be like, you're not Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't talk about women this way because you're not a genius.
Right.
Yeah. And even if you are a genius, I would prefer that you don't, but also you listen to that. Stand up was like that during that time. You
yeah.
can't listen to stand up from the past and not be like, that's what
right.
everyone felt. We were throwing homophobic shit out.
Yeah.
Like whether you like it or not or agree with it or not, that was what the time was.
I am totally blanking on his name. So great white comedian who has a big black audience from Boston.
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr. Yeah. Bill Burr is a great.
I love that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for just jumping into
it immediately.
His
wife is black. He's yelling all the time.
But he specifically has stuff where like every like 3 years, somebody who doesn't listen to his set gets up in arms. Like, he says that you should punch women in the face. And I'm like, he has literally said that. And he doesn't mean it that way. But, like, it's fine if you're like, you shouldn't even say it if you have, like, a larger point or whatever. But he, like, not only is saying it but in his own way and, like, standing on business, but then also, like, not really fucking, like, Matt Rife is trying to Bill Burr right now. Like, I don't give a fuck what you do. But I'm like, but you don't even have a larger point. Like, you literally are just being shitty.
Yeah. The thing that makes Bill Burr funny is he does give a fuck what black women think of what he's saying.
Yes.
Like, he does give a fuck what people think.
Yeah.
He's not up there being like, fuck you, pay me. Like, he's like, I thought about this. If you listen till the end, I'm gonna make a point, so just fucking stay with me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whereas, like, Matt Rife is going up there being like, oh, you fucking filled my pockets with money for a few years? Fuck you.
You're a stupid bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you deserve to be hit if you can't cook. Okay.
That's crazy.
Okay.
It's like Rodney Dangerfield play. It is crazy.
Is that really the joke? It's just like,
First of all, the joke is my friend said, and then I said the punchline, which always sucks.
Yeah.
But the joke is that he and his friend saw a hostess at a restaurant with a black eye. And Matt Rife is the face
of the company.
Yeah, Rife is like, oh, like, they shouldn't make her stand out here with that black eye. And he goes, she has a black eye. And then he goes, by the way, we all know how she got it. Like, she's, like, annoying. So he's like, she shouldn't have to stand out here with this black eye. And his friend goes, which, by the way, this interaction never fucking happened.
Of course.
I hate this style of comedy.
It's the structure for him to be like, if you...
It's a big story.
Yeah. So his friend says, they shouldn't make her stand there. They should put her in the kitchen. And he goes, well, if she could handle her own in the kitchen, she wouldn't have that black eye. All the comedy boys are coming in their fucking pants.
I mean, by that logic, every man deserves a bullet in the brain because they can't make us come. But
yeah,
I mean,
right.
Like, what?
It's also like,
what even is that?
There's this very specific white male artist thing, and I won't even make it just about comedians, even though that's where I see it the most. Where, like, you are a person who has never suffered any form of oppression, and you're trying to joke about oppression, and you're, like, stealing, like, you're doing a black scent because you've never been oppressed, so you don't know what the fuck you're doing, and you're joking about domestic violence because you've never been a member of a group of people who has violence, who, like, lives in a violent world because of who they are.
Right.
So you think that you can just, like, make this joke, and it's like, I love when women joke about domestic violence. I love when domestic violence victims are able to write a great joke about domestic violence. I love that. When you have not lived that experience, you're gonna write that shitty, unfunny joke about it because you don't fucking know anything about it.
You don't get what's funny about it.
Yeah.
There's something funny about every horrible thing.
There's nothing funny about a woman getting punched in the face.
No, his whole point is...
There's something funny about making fun of a guy who punched you in the face.
Yeah.
His whole point is, like, I don't want to see the consequences of domestic violence, and women are the ones who are...
It's
like,
their responsibility to cover it up. Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, fuck off.
Yeah. There is one thing that bothers me, and we'll take a little break, but... It kind of dovetails into this. So, with like a Bill Burr or like someone who is like an excellent comedian who is trying to make broader points where the beginning is gonna be kinda like everyone's gonna be like, whoa, what are we? There's like a moment where like, are you gonna say something shitty? And then he comes through with like a profound or interesting point. There is a thing on the left I have noticed when someone is launching into the thing that could potentially be shitty. They freak out immediately without allowing the point to be made. And often they'll freak out. Like, I've noticed on stage, every one of us is a female comedian. So we start to, like, talk about domestic violence or
sexual
assault ideation or whatever. Like, the scary thing. And people are, like, offended on your behalf. Or, like, you can't joke about that thing because then you're punching blah, 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 blah. And it's, like, you need to be able to handle the trauma for 10 seconds so I can make the funny
joke. You need to, I mean, and we were going to talk about this in our next segment a little bit, but like, I was on a show last weekend where I told jokes about being raped, and after one of the jokes the audience was like, we don't know whether or not we can laugh because we're in Brooklyn and rape is bad.
Yeah.
And I straight up said to them, I was like, if you guys don't laugh, I got raped for no reason.
Right.
Like, you have to laugh.
Right.
Yeah. Fuck you. Also, it's a, I am never the kind of person who's like, my joke is so well written that if you're not laughing, it's your fault. Except that one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, no, that was funny. Fuck you.
I have a joke about, suicide. As a person who's made a few close attempts and also just a person who struggles with mental illness, I do a joke about suicide and I do an act out in it that's so ridiculous that obviously I wouldn't be serious, and Brooklyn audiences clam up so much that I have a built-in punchline afterwards that's like, me making an act out about suicide and you being silent is telling me to do it. And then yeah. Like, that's, it's so predictable that they won't do anything with that. I'm going like, it's right. Crazy right. Obvious that I'm, you think I'm going to pull out a gun and kill my, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
Let's put a pin on that.
That is how, I mean, I love you, but that is how I hope you die.
Me too.
Like, I hope you're like 90, but that is how I hope you die.
I hope someone shoots me. That's been my, I want to go Dimebag Darryl style.
I've always said I want to die on stage. I don't care how it happens.
It would be incredible. You don't see it coming. You have no anxiety about it. You are a living legend.
Also, if, imagine you're crushing and you get to go out with that feeling.
That's how you know we're addicts.
I want to die at the same time as my boyfriend while while we're having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And we both just came, and I don't know who I want us to find us, but like somebody bad.
Not it.
Not it.
That's too romantic for me.
Yeah.
It's not that romantic.
It's really romantic.
It's Titanic level romantic.
You're basically saying I want us to die in each other's arms.
No, in each other's.
That's more romantic.
That's more romantic.
In each other's yarms.
That's more.
Oh, God.
We're saying that can't be a word you invent. No. You don't get yarms.
We're not getting yarms. That's actually white slang. Yarms is white slang.
No, yarms is actually a real one. You should look
don't
it up.
Shut up.
Don't
shut up.
Don't do that to me.
I thought we were friends.
Don't ever do that to me.
How dare you? Don't let me go out there trying to say yarms at a fucking Comedy Cellar hangout. You'll ruin my career.
Or worse, a cookout I got invited to.
Oh, no.
Last one. Grand opening, grand closing.
Yes. All right, we're gonna take a break, and we're gonna do a grand opening after this. on God, back to respect.
Man,
podcast.
I was really hoping you were gonna do like I wanted, you know, the voice that black comedians do when they're being white people.
Oh, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Chappelle.
Nice to meet you.
Chappelle doing white people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that voice a lot.
I have a white person voice.
Go for it.
Give it to us.
Damn, I usually complain. Hold on. What's a complaint that I... Give me a complaint.
The next segment we were going to do is about how, like, if you are in a room full of people and you think everyone's an asshole, you're probably an asshole.
Look at that bitch.
That was
white. Oh, my
God. Yeah, that was
Oh, my
it.
God. Look at her. Ugh. Ugh. I fucking hate her. Ugh.
This is just me.
Yeah. We're like,
this is just me talking to Tracy
from?
At a party.
Yeah. That's California white again. You're doing a California white dialect.
You gotta do on God. Oh my, on God.
On God. Yeah, it's hard. I'm such a fucking white woman that I don't know what my white womanness sounds like.
I feel like it's like a lot of this.
A
lot of like everything I say is a question.
Yeah. Yes.
And like I'm just like so cute.
So this type of white woman is the one who posts often things that are like, if you can't handle me at my,
oh my God,
you don't deserve me at my,
yeah.
There's a lot of quote posting that's vaguely about someone who has wronged them. It's passive, very passive aggressive is this personality type. And there's always a story about like how, ooh, God. How unacceptable other people's behavior.
Oh.
Unacceptable is the bread and butter of this personality type. And it's always the most benign thing imaginable that's happened to them. Yeah.
Well, it's also like I interact with people a lot who, because we're both kind of like,
aggressive.
No,
that's not
what I was going to say.
Wow.
Thank you.
I was hearing the passive. I think I'm passive.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
That person's passive aggressive. And I would, you guys aren't like aggressive in a bad way. I think that you guys are just like, this is what the fuck's going on. And I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Which is my preference and how people communicate.
And I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of bulldog out a little bit.
But it's like, it's just, then you don't have know if there's like a separate, with passive aggressive people, there's a separate narrative that they're running in their head.
Yeah.
And that is the scariest. I get really
also the reason I'm aggressive aggressive, it's usually towards those people, and it's because I'm trying to shut down that narrative.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm
no, like, you're good at that.
You're deciding what I think about you and treating me that way. I'm going to tell you what the fuck I think about you.
Well, my
this is exactly what I think about you, and it's not good.
Well, my favorite one of that was, someone was saying that you don't, a lot of people say, I can't tell if she hates me or like they or
yeah,
you, you hate me, and sometimes you'll be like, what should I say
like about
to
you.
That? What, yeah. what yeah. where does that lead me?
Oh yeah, that's the thing. Like people will come up to me and straight up say to my face, I feel like you hate me. And I'll be like, I used to do the thing where I go, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm just like, maybe I'm having anxiety or blah, blah, blah. And now if someone does that to me, I'll be like, well, do you think this interaction is helping that?
Yeah.
This interaction where I have to defend myself to you and defend how much I like you to your face. Do you think that's making me like you more? Because it definitely fucking isn't.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for specifically the two of you because you're two people who I think are perceived as nicer than me. And people go up to both of you and go, I feel like Lizzie hates me.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
And I'm like, fucking send them my way. Like, I'll talk to them.
Yeah, me and Tracy are very similar in that we are like absorbers of trauma dumps naturally.
Yeah.
And at least... obviously, I want to hear your reasoning behind it, but my reasoning behind it is twofold. One, I am feel like I'm responsible for taking care of everybody in my life, and two, I'm too scared to say like that's crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I don't, and I'm working on this. And like Lizzie and Trey, there's a lot of women in my life who are like, just say the thing, and it immediately diffuses it.
But yeah, it goes away.
I'm very afraid of conflict.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to say that, but that is how you like fucking diffuse that bomb of this
person.
Yeah,
and I didn't get there right away. And the reason I'm able to do it now is because the same way you're afraid of conflict, I'm afraid of constantly having it.
Yeah.
Like if you don't just say the thing, every time you're around this person, there's going to be a weirdness or an awkwardness.
Yeah.
But if you say the thing, they're just not going to be around you.
See, and you're talking about saying the thing, and I'm like, I'll just live in hell for all eternity.
Yeah.
Because, okay, I'm super duper confrontation averse. It comes from like, you know, family shit and just growing up and like, I was always bulldozed by my parents and by my sister, and I'm the youngest, so I had to be like the, ya-da-da-da-da, we're not fighting, I'm getting a divorce tonight, and so.
Real, very real.
Very real.
Felt good.
And so that's like, I'm actually talking about this with my therapist because I, like, it's so easy to be like, I'm an empath and I'm like the, I'm the good person or whatever.
Dangerous word for dysfunctional people.
Yeah.
And so I never wanted to like rest on that, like, that laurel, like, oh, I'm the good person. I'm like, what do I get out of this that I keep doing it? Because if I didn't get anything, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
So I actually think that I'm kind of condescending, and in my head, I'm always like, this person just couldn't handle how devastating it would be to lose me.
Yeah.
Like, there's like this weird ego thing in my head where I'm like, I'm so strong and I can deal with anything, and this person's a little weak baby bitch.
Yeah, I mean,
could never take any sort of emotional thing.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you have to deal with when you become the person who says the thing, and I don't always do it, but if I like get to a point where I have to, but when you become the person who just says the thing, you do have to reckon with the fact that like, you are going to be a bad guy to this person.
Yes.
And that's really hard. I want everybody to like me. Like, despite what everybody thinks, I want everybody to like me all the time. I want to be like,
I also know what I mean? Lots of people.
I know.
I'm kidding.
Like,
I'm kidding.
They think that you
Thanks,
hate
guys. Yeah,
Thanks,
yeah, guys. Yeah. I'm kidding.
You're well liked.
But no, I don't think I'm not, but I do think people are like, she doesn't care.
Yeah, sure.
And I do care a lot.
Yeah.
But the thing that you have to deal with is like, I am going to be the bad guy in this person's narrative, and that's fine. Because I don't like this person. And I don't value their opinions on who is good and who is bad. So like, fine, I'm the bad guy. At least I don't have to fucking deal with your bullshit anymore.
This is like probably going to be the hardest hump for me to get over because I need people to like me. Like,
yeah, it's hard.
I need it.
I need to be needed.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I will literally be like, I hate this person. Like, not even the person you guys think I'm talking about.
There's so many people I'm thinking of. Our world is filled with this.
A recent person that I met, I immediately just like unclicked with them. I was like, I hate this. I hate everything about this person. Yeah. And I kept being like, want to borrow my car? Do you need anything from me?
Yeah.
Like, cause I was just like, I was like, I hate them so much that they have to hate me too. So then I was overcompensating because of how much I hated them.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I don't want to treat them like shit because I hate them. So then I treated them too well. And then but then the more stuff I did for them, the more I hated them because I was like, why the fuck does this person get so many good things out of me and I fucking hate them? And it was crazy.
Do you feel like, because sometimes when I hate someone or I just feel I don't click with them, we're not going to be friends, I feel like they know that I dislike them.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they're, like, in my mind knowing. Mm-hmm. They're, like, reading. Because I'm reading other people's microaggressions all the time, I feel like they know. So then I will go the other way. Exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I'll go the other way to be, like, I'll throw them off the trail. And they'll think I like them.
Yeah.
And then I'll be free.
Can I rock your world right now?
Yes.
They do know. And when you change it, they win.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah.
They know you don't like them. I'm thinking of a specific person. Again, not the person you think I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of.
No one's thinking of anyone. No,
I think you know who I'm thinking of, but I'm thinking of a specific person who went up to you and asked you why I don't like them.
Uh-huh.
And I straight up, from then on, every time I interacted with this person, I was like, I am going to make sure you know I don't like you so that you don't burden my friends with this question anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it very fucking clear that I don't like you because I don't like that you cornered my friend and made her give you a pep talk about my personality.
Sure. Yeah.
That's not fair to her. That's not fair to me. So I don't like you. And I'm going to make that very fucking apparent because I don't want you to have any like confusion on
or
this
resources
matter.
That you can draw
wow,
from
you're
on
so
this
powerful
matter, you know
so powerful
I don't think I am it. I think I'm like
exhausted
I'm
with
exhausted
it.
yeah
well there's I the person who thinks everybody else is the problem too this personality type
yeah
there comes a time where they run through a group of people and they lose their credibility. Like in the beginning, you're like, oh, that's a crazy story. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Yeah.
And then by like example 10, they have no social like credit left because every story is just a crazy thing
and eventually,
that happened
like,
to them.
Example 8 or 9 is going to be someone I think is cool and
good. Right.
And I'm going to be like, wait a second.
There's no way
Tracy or Andrea would do something like that.
But
you
that's
know?
So relieving when they get down to that person that you're like, oh, I'm free of you now. This is so obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deciding that people aren't going to like you is a very freeing thing because here's the thing. They already don't like you.
Yeah.
They already fucking don't like you.
Well,
if somebody is asking you if you like them, they already have a weird relationship to you.
Yeah.
This is something that my therapist said that like I'm really trying to put in my own brain.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like even if they do like me at this point, them liking me doesn't make them better to be around.
Yeah.
So it's like okay, I'm doing all this stuff and they do like, and they're telling other people Tracy's great. And I'm like, but I'm not getting any benefit out of this relationship. Like,
right.
It doesn't matter. They could love me. They could be like, that's my best friend. I'm not getting anything from that relationship.
Friend.
I'm only getting like headaches and being like, oh God, I got to
do emotional labor
text message or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, so I'm trying to be like, being liked isn't the tip of the top anymore. It's being cared for or like being understood, like being
or having like a mutual like a mutual respect for another person.
Yeah, like so that's what I'm trying to like reorient my brain to be chasing after.
Yeah, because being liked is fucking awesome.
Of course.
Like even if like the classic thing of I don't want to fuck this person but I want them to fuck me. Or I want them to want to fuck me.
Yeah.
That's like, I've had that a lot.
I hate that. Oh, God.
Oh, I love that.
I love that.
Oh, no.
I never feel more powerful than when I don't want to fuck someone who wants to fuck me.
When I don't
want to
fuck somebody, I feel so guilty. I'm like, do I want to fuck them?
That's crazy.
No. And then I'm just like, can you just want to fuck someone else?
Girl, you're crazy for that one.
On God.
On bippity boppity bod.
Whoa.
Damn, Andrea. you really took that one.
Yeah. So hey, thank you so much. Do you want to see me rap to Ludacris now? That's why I had you on this podcast. Stay the fuck up out my bitch.
Can you tell us the two of the good ones?
Where'd you get those platinum chains?
You guys are
with
among
them
the ones that aren't bad.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Some would say the chosen ones. Can we say that?
I was joking, no. But no, definitely not.
There is also a thing where I used to believe that if everyone liked you, they would, do your favors and help you. Which is,
I thought that
crazy untrue.
No, that's only because that's what you do when you like somebody.
Yes.
And that's what I do when I like somebody. And I think that's what you do when you like somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all three of us are like, so that's what people would do.
Right.
And so many people do not ever help any other person.
So self-centered.
Yeah.
I do think people will not help you if they don't like you, which is obvious.
Yeah,
sure.
Like, the people who will help you will only help you if they like you, for the most part.
No,
unless they're Tracy.
Yeah.
Unless you're, like, dealing with a lot of shit you have to work through.
Unless there's, like, trauma.
Yeah, but for the most part, people have to at least like you to help you. But there are so many people who will like you, like you said, who will never do shit for you.
People don't help other people as a general rule. I know that sounds horrible. And so when I see someone who genuinely helps people with no benefit, who, like, not in the sick way, respectfully, but in like a, oh, I just, like, my friend's having a hard time, so I checked in on them. That's so rare.
Well, yeah, or there's nothing that, like, warms my heart more than when somebody's like, and this is also a stand-up comedy example, sorry, but, like, when somebody's like, oh, I recommended this person for this thing because they're really funny and I don't actually even really know them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just know that they're really good at this. That's when I'm like, oh, you're like a purist.
Yeah.
You're like amazing. Yeah.
Isn't
you know
that how we became friends?
Which,
when I like told you about that stupid ass audition that wasn't even like a good one for like America's Got
Oh
Talent.
Yeah.
Like, I heard
oh
about
my God,
that.
I forgot. Man, and I blew that.
If it helps, it was not a real thing. Like,
none of those things
were like,
real things.
I was like months into stand-up comedy and they told me that I needed two like squeaky clean minutes.
Yeah.
And I only had two squeaky clean minutes. Mm-hmm. So I did them. Shout out Tracy for getting me the audition.
It was an audition.
And I did them and the casting person liked it.
Yeah.
So she asked me to send a tape, but that was my only 2 minutes. And I was so new that I didn't have a tape. So I cut up audio recordings of me not saying the word fuck and sent them to her. And I thought she was just going to never email me back because it was so bad. And she did email me back and was like, this isn't what I asked for.
I mean,
I was like, yeah, I don't belong on America's Got Talent.
Can you imagine if you got
it? Blowing it, though.
No, I blew it.
You weren't going to be able to not blow it at that juncture because of how
course.
Experienced you
imagine
were.
Imagine if I had gotten it.
That would have been worse.
I would have blown it on national television.
Been worse. Yeah.
But thank you for getting me it.
You blew that like a meaty cock.
Yes.
Hey. Or a meaty dick.
No, I want to be like you guys.
Thank
you.
Thanks
so much.
Thank you for code switching for us on our podcast.
Code switched.
We're going to take a quick break and then we'll do one quick thing and then we'll get the fuck out of here.
Oh, hello and welcome back to Respectfully
That
podcast.
Was good. That was really good.
Welcome to the program, folks.
I love that black comics who do white voice, like I genuinely love this, always make us sound like Muppets.
Sorry, walking here.
Well, I like the things that they say, like, I like to drink milk. And I'm like, I'm like, you guys do not talk
it's
to white people.
White colored beverages.
I love milk and sour cream.
We don't not love milk and sour cream.
I know,
cream.
I do love those things.
So Tracy has a girl math hot take that we'd like to end
that
on.
That we love.
That is great. I'd like to bring it to the floor. Tracy, please bring your findings.
Okay, respectfully,
mm-hmm.
The only good heights are 5'10 and 5'11.
Mm-hmm.
Bold.
Anybody under 5'10 is polyamorous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everyone 6 feet and up is a cheater. And so 5'10 and 5'11 are the only guys who won't fuck other girls.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What if somebody is over 6 foot but ugly?
Still a cheater.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, I thought that would be the answer, but I just wanted to throw it out.
Yeah, and then like 5'9", they'll try to like stay true to their girlfriend or whatever, but like then their girlfriend is the one who wants to open the relationship. So, and they'll say yes.
It's so funny that you say this, and I may have said this on, I don't know if I've said this on this podcast before, but one time I was on a date with a polyamorous guy, and just in conversation, I forget what he was talking about, but he was like, you know, cause I'm 5'11". And I was standing next to him and I went, no, you're not. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, I'm not 5'10".
Is there a height rule for the gals? Cause I'm 5'11".
No.
No rules.
No, women are perfect and complex and talk to the moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. We're fully formed, human beings. So.
Yeah. Yeah. If we cheat, it's because we're being emotionally abused.
Thank you. I love
that. And not because of how tall we are.
I love that angle. I love that angle. No woman has ever cheated when it's actually not their fault. It's never their fault.
Women, I said this to you last night, but I really do believe this. Every woman I meet is innocent until proven guilty, and every man I meet is guilty until proven innocent. Yep.
Unless they're rich.
Rich
women cheat.
Watch your fucking mouth.
You don't have to cheat. You just can.
Yeah.
How do you, cause I have a whole cheating fucking thing. I hate it. I don't cheat, but are you saying you can cheat because you're not depending financially on the person? So you can kind of just do whatever you want.
That.
And there's like an entitlement maybe. Like I think a lot of rich people are raised like, I can have whatever I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I've seen a rich woman at a fancy restaurant be like, take my coffee back. I still have my wine glass on the table. And I'm like, that's a woman who cheats.
Yeah.
I don't know why that, but
my mom did that once. But it wasn't a coffee, it was a scotch, and she was like, I'm finishing my wine. So they took the scotch away, and then the server walked by, and she goes, I never got my scotch. And the server was like, you wanted that too? Yeah. She's like, falling asleep.
She's
like, I don't want it at all.
Like, give me my fucking scotch.
All right, well, that's just bad bitch behavior.
I know, kind of.
That is bad. It's hard to make the difference between bad bitch behavior and entitled behavior.
I know.
There's such a thin line.
Because, like, it's the same with cheating. Like, I've seen a lot of hot women who will be like, they'll cheat on their boyfriend, but then start dating the guy.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? That guy was treating me badly and I'm a bad bitch who deserves to be treated well. And it's like, yeah, but you could have broken up with him.
It's the technicality of it. Yeah.
I mean, we came here to shit on men.
Yes. Yeah. And short men are ethically not monogamous. Mm-hmm. And
we've talked about,
I've heard you guys.
That's not the commenting. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And a tall man will just cheat. Hard body.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with this.
Yeah.
I think most of the guys I've dated are in the 5'10", 5'11". I mean, a lot of them are 5'9", and we're saying they're 5'10", but like, they're there.
I've dated tall men, but they have crippling mental illness and eating disorders, so.
That's okay, yeah. Yeah. There has to be something to even out the tall.
Yeah.
I'm 5 feet tall, so like.
I know.
My.
It's crazy.
5'11 is the tip of the top for me. I don't like tall men.
You know how we're talking about people who like see interracial couples and get mad that they're like stealing black men from white women?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about women your height or date tall men.
I would never ever take that resource away
like,
from
Like if I saw you with like a
giant, you keep looking like, I will never take them away from you. You freak show.
Yeah, if I saw you with like a 6'4" guy, I'd be like, come on, man.
I
want to be able to wear heels to dinner once.
Yeah.
Also, every time that a tall guy, like, they always want to pick me up, and I'm like, put me down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Yeah, put me down.
And no one wants to pick me up.
Yeah, people think they want to pick me up, and then I take my Spanx off.
I'm actually hard to lift. I'm very dense.
Yeah, you're all tits.
Yeah.
Well, okay. We didn't have to. I am all tits.
You're all tits and I'm all in for it. I would love to be all tits.
I have like 2 feet of tits.
You do have 2 feet of tits.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So I'm 3 feet tall, actually, if we're really gonna get to girl math.
Oh my God, you get a breast reduction and you're 3 feet tall. God, you'd be adorable.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'd carry you around in a baby Bjorn. Oh.
Well, people are going to see on social media. They can check out your 2 feet of tits. Where can people follow you, find you, all of the things? Plug it up.
Follow me at sexy Lil Goober, L-I-L instead of little.
Adorable.
Mm-hmm. I'm running an hour.
Yes.
I've seen it. It's awesome. If you are in the New York City area or wherever Tracy goes, you should go see it. It's great.
And I quit my second job, and my second job is now going to be comedy.
All right. We love Tracy. Tracy is so funny, and you should support her.
You get
her.
The opportunity to see her. Go take it.
Yeah. What are you, racist? What yeah. do you think about
What
that?
Are you, racist and misogynistic, yeah. you bitch?
Oh, what? You going to bring your black boyfriend to see Tracy, and then we'll give you a pass.
And that's on Mary Had a Little Lamb.
And the pod. Drop the mic.
That's it.
Butter plugs. You know where we are. Goodbye.
Bye.